Bible, and I have a specific reason for doing it. Because it helps to understand the split rapture. It helps to understand it. When I was graduating from the seminary, this was in 1974, they asked me to write a book. So I said, okay, I will. And so I wrote a book. And the last chapter, I did a lot more than just what I'm going to show you in the Bible. But if you don't have a Bible, look around in one of these back walls here somewhere, and you'll have one. I'm going to read something to you in the 20th chapter of Revelation, verses 11 through 14. Hey, we've got some more of these. Get here. I'm going to read directly from the Bible. We've got two more back there. When I had finished the book, I took it to them, and they would not print it based on what I'm going to read to you. Now, I'm not trying to say anything bad about the seminary, so help me. I love the seminary. I love the teachers down there that wouldn't publish it. And they asked me if I would take it out. And I said, okay, let me know where I'm wrong on this. And these were the people that ran the school. And they couldn't. It's not defendable. But one of the reasons I had so much trouble with the split rapture was, one of the reasons I had such trouble with the split rapture was because I went back and I examined what I'm going to read to you. It's in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. David Robinson said something about me one time that's true. He said, if you're going to argue with Brother McElmurray, you better get your ducks in a row. And I am very thorough at what I do. And so when they saw this, there's no way you can refute it, particularly since I went back all the verses before it and made certain that what I was teaching was the truth. So let's start in verse 11 of Revelation 20. And this is really the first time that I've ever taught most of you this, because I taught this when I first came here. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I'll give you time to digest that, because there are so many different positions on the rapture in our work that I knew something was true, but I had a hard time. Why wouldn't anybody accept it? And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now look at it and think about it. I had a whole lot more besides this, but this is the simplest way I know to tell you this. And I saw the dead. John saw the dead. S-A-W. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They were standing before God. Now digest that. They were standing before God. Small and great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. Now, digest that. Look at it. Think about it. And what you have is a bunch of people that are there. You're at the great white throne of judgment. And it would only be natural that they would stand before God for judgment. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now I want you to think about what I'm going to say next. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Wait a minute, you got to bring them up. Something's wrong here. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Why do they bring out all these books? Everybody knows they're going to send them out of hell there, don't they? Now, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Well, they gave them up after verse 12. That's a fact. They gave them, they actually gave up the dead which were, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, I've looked all this up in Greek. I made sure I did that before I presented it before the teachers. I looked it up every way you possibly could, studied it from one end to the other, and I knew it had to be true, what I'm about to say. Why? How could they be standing there in verse 12, and yet the sea hadn't given up its dead yet? Well, they had a lot more men at the seminary that were a lot smarter than I am. And I'm not all that smart. But I'm an analyst. And I went to seminary to study Greek because I wanted to know, what do these tenses mean? How do you look at them? How can you prove things with them? That's why I went. And that's the only reason I went. Now, how could he see the dead standing before him? And there you have the book. Another book was open. The books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, just tell me why. In verse 13, these people are standing before him in verse 12. And the sea in verse 13, they're giving up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up. And the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Think about it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. At the great white throne judgment, contrary to popular belief, there are two books that are opened at the beginning. We're in chapter 20 and verses 14 through 15. And it says, well, how is that possible? You say, well, you're just supposed to understand that. You ever listen to these people that talk from NBC and CBS and PDQ and FOB and COD and IOU on television to explain why Trump's wrong about everything? Well, this is the kind of logic they use. You could say, well, they don't know what God knows. You're absolutely right. And you're going to only learn what God knows up to the point that he wants you to know. And when he wrote, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you ever get to the point where you think it's the other fellow that's poor in spirit, and you got this whole thing figured out, you're out of your mind. Or maybe I'm out of my mind. But the truth is, that's a split rapture. There are two different groups of people there. And if you go back and run the continuity on it, the language, everything, they could not refute it. That's why when your dad first came here, I said, maybe that's what it is. Because two groups of people are split. And I think that it's a split rapture. Well, what is a rapture? It's where the lost are separated from the dead. For how long? Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the final split rapture. Now, I've worked on this thing for years and years and years and years. And this is where it all started. This is where it all started, right here. And I issued a challenge. I told I'd give anybody $500 that could prove that there wasn't a split rapture. But the only way I could prove it was just to show there were two groups of people there. Now, I'm certain there's a split rapture. I'm also aware that my interpretation here could be wrong. But not to the fact that there are two different groups of people here. Now, the first group, in verse 11, down to verse 12, those people were saved. And the books were opened to show that they were saved. And they were judged according to their works. What did these people think? Well, they didn't think they were super smart in Scripture. God was teaching them not to have a high opinion of themselves. Been there, done that. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many born-again believers and go to church actually believe that they're poor in spirit? How many actually believe that? More of them believe that. They don't ever read the rest of it. They don't ever look at the rest of the Bible. I didn't know I was poor in spirit. You say, what did you know? I didn't know anything. But it didn't take me long studying the Scriptures to know that there were some things that God meant for me to read because I had a haughty spirit. I thought I was pretty smart. I wasn't. So the first thing God has to teach you is that you're poor in spirit, but all power in heaven and earth is given to him. And that's what I learned, and that's the way I learned it in. So because of this episode that I've just described to you, I have been really frustrated at times, knowing there was a split rapture, but not knowing where to put it. You say, well, it can't be put there. Why not? You have a separation of two different people. Who are all these people from chapter 13 to 15? They've been in hell ever since they died. They're taken from all over the earth, the sea, which were in it, and death delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 13 to 15, that's everybody that's been gathered that have been in hell ever since Cain, I guess. And the first part up there are some people that are judged. And I'll get to them eventually. But you got, there is a split rapture, I guarantee you. It's difficult. It's not easy. And I didn't begin to realize that you got to take everything you said, and if it doesn't fit, you got a problem. Well, if I find something that fits better than what I just told you, I'll let you know. Now, we had this. Has everybody got one? This is called When Was the Mountain Appointed to the Disciples? And I ask you to keep this, and I think you've all got one now. I had gotten down to page
4. You got down to page 4 where it says Simon.
Page 4 where it says Simon clearly revealed Jesus as the one who had come to fulfill the covenant to his people Israel and as a light to lighten the Gentiles. What's made this so difficult for me is that I believe there was a split rapture, especially after Chuck's dad started coming here, because it had bothered me for years. I thought, you can't put all these together and make sense out of them, because I'm an analyst. And I said, it won't work. You say, well, God's a better analyst than you are. Oh, amen. You say, well, how did you learn that? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, present indicative active, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because he saved me by his mercy, by his grace. He had to save me before I could properly understand scriptural baptism. He had to save me before I could properly understand teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I learned that Jesus fulfilled more than 3 years during the tribulation period. He fulfilled more than 3 years of Daniel's 70th week. That's a fact. I think it wasn't 3.5 years he fulfilled. It was over 3 years, just barely over. And then the clock stopped. And when the clock stopped, the Lord went down, and he was crucified. So we have a little more than 4+ years to fulfill in the tribulation period. Now, when do I think the tribulation period is going to start? The disciples said, well, why don't we get rid of these tares? Why don't we separate them from us? Run them off. Why don't we do that? They were told, I don't want to do that. because I don't want to injure the wheat, not corn, but wheat. I don't want to injure the wheat when the separation is made. And the separation is going to be made at the very end. And so this is not a subject that is as easy as I thought. I thought as a synoptic analyst, I had this all figured out. I didn't. You say, well, what did you learn from then, from that? I needed to be humbled by God. You say, well, how did he do that? He taught me about myself. And you say, well, you weren't saved. Yeah, I was saved, but I wasn't very humble. Matter of fact, I wasn't humble at all. And I suddenly realized, as he went along teaching me all this, Tom, you want to sure you can be in heaven? Yeah. And I realized what I had to be taught before I could understand the split rapture. I had to be taught that I was poor in spirit. How many preachers do you hear say, I am poor in spirit? You don't hear very many of them. Now, if you go ahead and say, I am poor in spirit, because all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ, all you got to do is go over there to Matthew, and there it is. So this has caused me a lot of pain and agony in life. Sounds like I'm complaining, but I'm really not. I realized it was going to be tough, and it hadn't been tough because I've learned who I am. I'm a fellow that's poor in spirit. And I only know that because God let me know that. My question to you is, do you recognize that? And there are a lot of preachers, I believe, that are saved that don't recognize how poor they are in spirit. And so with the preachers in this church, I'm perfectly satisfied, not that that matters, but I believe that there's something all of us need to learn, and that is we are poor in spirit, and ours is the kingdom of God because we've been humbled by God. I think that's very important to know. Now, in Luke, we're on back on the thing here. Simeon clearly revealed Jesus as the one who had come to fulfill the covenant to his people Israel, and as a light to lighten the Gentiles. He was a very, very, very old man. Should have been dead. But God kept him alive. Luke 2, 25 to 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now remember, there is only one God, just one. But he has fulfilled three offices. The office of Father, the office of Son, and the office of the Holy Spirit. You say, are you positive of that? Absolutely. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, physical death, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He got to see him. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. God's Spirit led him in. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after the custom of the law, which was to circumcise them, then took he up in his arms and blessed God. He blessed God because and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast provided before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people of Israel. I think it's quite possible that many preachers that are in churches that have repented toward God and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and called upon Him, he keeps trying to teach them that all power in heaven and earth is given unto Him, and that their spirit is poor by comparison to God, who knows all things. Now, you say, well, nobody's ever seen this God face to face. Amen. Simon didn't see Him face to face. He saw a baby in a manger that was physically alive, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. But he could not see Him as He is. That's why I know I'm going to heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Explain why I'm not going. That's precisely what I believe. You say, you just think you're humble. I know I'm humble, because I figured out who God is. He's Almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's everything that Isaiah said He was. And if you go over in Isaiah and read all the names that He has, He's all of those. You say, well, why do you call Him what you do? That's what Jesus said to do. You say, well, is Jesus God? Yes, He is. And in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I wanted to live long enough to let you all who had joined. You joined after I first came, way after I first came here. I wanted you to know that I'm not the same man anymore. I feel like Ebenezer Scrooge when he jumped out and said, I'm not the same man, I'm not the same man. God has to teach you who you are before you can. Chuck was very helpful to me on this, and his dad was too. You have to understand who you are before you can know who God is. I'm poor in spirit, yet mine is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because God taught me that it's somebody who has learned that God has all power. You usually find it in landmark missionary Baptist churches. You usually find it in missionary Baptist churches that still preach and teach the word. But it's a rare commodity. And it's an honor for me to pastor this church. Now, these people are going to be separated. And they're going to be separated at the great white throne of judgment. And it's a final separation. An absolute final separation. And if you want to relate it to something, relate it to the he in Daniel 9:27. Understand, the he in Daniel 9:27 does not refer back to the prince that shall come in Daniel 9:26. The prince that has already come and the ones he led destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The he refers not to a coming Antichrist, but to the contextual subject of each verse from 24 to 27. Messiah the Prince, Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting for the Antichrist to destroy a sanctuary that was destroyed in Jerusalem more than 1900 years ago. I'm not waiting for him. I'm waiting for the return of a Messiah who was cut off for my sins in the midst of Daniel's last week. after having fulfilled most of the first 3.5 years of it. The covenant was finished when the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and a token sign of the fulfillment was manifested by the resurrection of the Old Testament saints who came out of their graves after his resurrection. John 19:30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." That's one single Greek word, "it is finished." Tetelestai. It means it's finished, it's over, it's done. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I've been waiting for a long time for Jesus to finish the rest of his purpose. He's God. And I've learned a lot of things about God. You say, well, there you go, bragging again. No, it humbled the fire out of me. It made me realize what a smart aleck I was. It made me realize that the thing that's important in your life and in my life is to understand that you've got to be saved before you can be of any value to God, of any great value. You've got to come to the point where you realize all power in heaven and earth is given to him. And you've got to realize that your faith, you have got to understand that your faith, your ability is limited to a poor situation where you can't save yourself. That gave me a great deal of freedom. I have complete freedom in Christ. Matthew 27:50-53. Jesus, when he had cried aloud with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out after, the key word there is after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. You'll find a thorough verse-by-verse exposition of Daniel 9:24-27 in our prophecy archives in parts 1-4. But I will, in this update, exposit on verse 27 as it relates to Christ. This is one of the most important doctrines to convert you after you're saved. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 1 week of years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. He's still got a lot of things to fulfill. That's the consummation. It's something he does at the end. You say, well, we have the ability to do this only if God gives it to us. I'm not a Calvinist by any stretch of the imagination. And there's quite a bit of difference between somebody who's a split rapture believer. And I thank God that along the way he taught me this. And I thank God I was exposed to preachers in the first church I ever was, that I was born, and I went there when I got old enough to understand. And I finally understood, I don't understand all this, but I came to understand this he, and I'm certain of it. He made the temple desolate. He said, "You shall not see me henceforth," but Jesus say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That's the consummation of the age. He is used 3 times. In each case, it pertains to Jesus the Messiah. He began to confirm the covenant with the many who would believe he was the one sent to confirm it when he was baptized in water by John. And he completed the covenant when he was crucified in his baptism by fire at Golgotha in the midst of Daniel's 70th week. Now, when it says the midst, if you look up the word and you check it out, it's some 3.5 years after his water baptism. But it's not quite 3.5 years. His water baptism pictured what would finish the covenant some 3.5 years later when he died, was buried, and then was resurrected to complete the covenant. I am of the opinion he fulfilled the covenant during the first 1,185 days of Daniel's last week. If this, you think this is something new that I came up with, this was taught before 1740, and you won't find anything that taught this after 1740. You won't find it. You said, how did I know that? I looked all over Europe. I looked all over North Africa. I looked everywhere I went, all over the world. There wasn't any such thing as the first of the week, or the mid-trib, or there wasn't anything before that, like that. So I came to the conclusion that he fulfilled the covenant during the first 1,185 days of Daniel's last week. It is two sheets, Terry. And the remaining 1,335 days will begin when Israel actually believes it has peace and safety. You say, well, why don't you pay a lot of attention to what's going on up there, what not right now with Trump and Thump and Bump and the Easter Bunny? Why don't you pay some attention to the fact that this isn't going to happen until Israel actually believes it has peace and safety? That's got to happen. You say, have you got that figured out? No, but I think I've got it pretty close. And so he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate. He made the temple and its offering spiritually desolate because of the overspreading of abominations. He told him, you've made my house into a den of thieves. He had once cleaned out of it, had cleaned it. The temple had become a den of thieves, and those who ministered in it had turned into blind guides. You want to know what Israel is like now? That's just the way they are. You don't know how many times I've sat and talked to rabbis as I travel back and forth. They're still looking for the Messiah. The Orthodox are. The rest of them, they don't have enough. They don't care, generally. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I wonder how many churches that are considered very, very, very scriptural. I wonder how many of them are under the wings of the Lord. I wonder. I wonder if we don't have a lot of our churches that those preachers have got one thing in mind. How I can be pastor of this church, or how I can make more money where I'm pastoring. You see, that's an awful thing to say. I asked Tommy Brown to come up here and use, he's better at Greek than I am. I asked him to come up here one night and prove to you. I actually prove to you with the language. When it talks about them, in the last days there shall come many. And he talked about them, and people believe they're saved. No, they're not. God said he would not remove the actual he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I wonder if it were possible to go through every missionary Baptist church that calls itself ABA, BMA, PDQ, whatever you want to call it. I wonder right now if this isn't the state that we're in. I wonder right now how many tares are in them that aren't going to be separated until late, when Jesus is completely rejected even by his own churches. Matthew 23:23-24. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I know churches. Look, I've traveled so much. I know churches, they're blind, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And it hadn't been easy. I'm not complaining. Yeah, I am complaining. And God doesn't like that, because he's taught me, don't do that. And then he gave you to me, so you'd give me all these instructions before I came over. Don't say this, don't say that. He has made the temple and all its sacrifices desolate, even to the consummation of this present age. They will not be restored until Jesus returns at his second advent. Matthew 23:38-39. Behold, your house is left until you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week. What about that word midst? It means anywhere in between. It's not, most people think, okay, we're going to do this just exactly like God wants. Wham! And you separated it. Right? Where did you separate it? 4.2 umbadex. And 4.2 imbadex. And we did it perfectly. We used imbedexes. How stupid. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. The problem is, you have to know the language. And the only ones who ever learn it are the ones who seek it. That's the truth. Only reason I know it is because God taught me. Only reason Chuck knows it is because God taught him. We had to be saved before we could ever understand what we were looking for. And so, regardless of whether you think it's where I say it is, that I belong to it. I'm pastoring a church. As far as I'm concerned, it's a landmark missionary Baptist church. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of God's churches. If it wasn't, I wouldn't pastor it. Now, what would have happened if you'd come up here at first and they'd have run you off? Would you have let them? Probably. But after God taught me, I said, you think I'm going to leave here and not give God a testimony? You think I'm going to end up like Tommy Brown? Be sure you tell him that I thank the Lord I wasn't going to end up like Tommy Brown. Okay. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which was outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that is the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. I tell you, I understand that, because the only reason that I'm going to heaven is because God lives in me. That's the only reason. And God has humbled me. That's the only reason. And God has saved me. He has saved me by his own power after he taught me that I couldn't save myself. And he had to save me because he has all power in heaven and earth. And my spirit is poor. My spirit is poor. And mine is the kingdom of heaven because of God. Now, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. When I first met Chuck, I liked him. And after I was around him for a while, I listened to what he had to say. There wasn't any doubt in my mind he was God called. But I thought, is he ever confused like I am about this thing? And after I got to know him, I knew he was. And I've loved him from the first time I ever met him. Because I'm sure right now, if we were to talk about what I've been discussing, we'd probably have a different opinion on it. But the truth of the matter is, the difference of opinion comes after salvation. You cannot please God unless you worship him in spirit and in truth. So how all this works out to this day, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a landmarker. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even at that time. And at that time thy people shall be destroyed, everyone that shall be found written in the book. How much time we got?
About 6 minutes. About 5 now.
Okay. Oh, time passed, huh?